I said in the first service, when it kicks into that last part of music, I just want to get up and dance or something. I want to thank our worship team for just sharing their talents with us. And just y'all picked some of my favorite songs today. I hate that I missed the first one. Well, good morning, my Advent family. It is good to be here with you. Arlington sends its love. We are in the midst of a new sermon series called Made, What God Has Made Us For. And last week, if you remember, Kaz talked about us being made for work, right? This week, I get the honor of talking about how we are made to be creative and to create. Psalms 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands." How many of you guys have ever seen a beautiful sunset? I mean, one like you're just like, Those of you that know Missy Carey, she like posts pictures on Facebook all the time and makes me wish I was down in Florida. But I see some beautiful ones here in the Mid-South. Or you've seen like this time of year, the birds start flying in V formation over, and it's just cool, right? Psalms 104, verses 24 through 25 says, "Oh Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures." And if you notice, creatures, as a root word, has create in it. Does anybody know how many species of fish there are in the world? And I'm sorry, I don't have any gift cards to give away this time. But you can just holler it out, and if you get it right, then you got bragging rights for knowing. Just throw out some guesses. What do you think? How many species of fish? Millions, thousands. Millions is kind of ambitious. There might be, I don't know. But there are 33,000 known species of fish here on our planet, and there's just so many different shapes and sizes and colors. Just beautiful, beautiful. Okay. Do you know how many species of beetles there are in the world? Want to throw out a guess? 10,000? 100,000? The first service, one of the people said, too many. And when I told her how many, there are 400,000 known species of beetles. And she said, that's 400,000 too many. Any kind of bug, right? But look how beautiful. What variety and creativity. Okay. How many types of flowering plants? Throw out a guess. I know we got some gardeners and some, maybe even some master. 13? Well, it's a few more than that. 20. Over 400,000 known species. We could do this all day. So much variety, so much beauty, and so much creativity on the part of our Heavenly Father. Did you guys know that each one of you are made by a master artist? You know, there are 8 billion people on the planet almost, and not one of them are the same. I think that's pretty incredible. I look out at the congregation here. I got a front row seat because I can see all of you at once. What a beautiful tapestry. Take a look around. We've got different colors of skin. We've got a variety of colors of hair or scalps in some cases. We've got a plethora of shapes and sizes and ages. It's beautiful. It truly is. It's like looking at a mural of the body of Christ. You know, the Mona Lisa, have anybody seen the Mona Lisa in? Okay, good. I saw it. I don't remember where it was. It was on a traveling thing, I think. And the Mona Lisa, they estimate to being worth at least $850 million. So it's probably that or upwards of that. Just ungodly amount of money. And it's just some paint and canvas, but it's so, so valuable. And if you've seen it in person, you're probably like, oh, okay. You know, I mean, it is nice, but do you know that what makes it so valuable? It's the fact that there's only one, and it was created by an artist, a master artist. Well, guess what, guys? I'm looking at a bunch of creations of only one, created by a master artist. I want you to turn to the person nearest you, and if you're sitting all by yourself, I want you to get up and go over and talk to them. And I want you to say, you are a work of art, an absolute priceless masterpiece. You are a work of art, an absolute priceless masterpiece. All right, I'm hearing some laughing. Is there any spouses that just looked over and said, you're an absolute piece of work? If you did, you didn't follow the instructions, so make it right, okay? You know, about 10 years ago, I took anatomy and physiology 1 and 2 in the labs that go with it. I was thinking about working on another degree part-time, and I kind of fascinated with sort of the medical arts too, and I just loved that class. I'm not kidding. I really did enjoy it. And when I got to the end of the last semester, I went up and talked with my professor afterwards, and I said, you know what? This class has been more faith-affirming for me than the seminary classes I took. And I know that sounds kind of counterintuitive or weird, but you cannot dive into God's creation on the micro level and look at the trillions upon trillions of specialized cells all working together in harmony without any conscious awareness on our part and not see the hand of God and the handiwork of an artist. You know, your body makes 1 million adjustments a day just to keep you alive. Most of the time, we only think about it if we're hungry or sleepy or got to use the bathroom, right? But there's stuff going on right now you're not even aware of. If you get too acidic, you die. If you get too alkaline, you die. If you're not oxygenated enough, you die. If your blood chemistry gets out of whack, you die. Yeah, it's not a trick question. You are so intricately and complicated and beautifully made that the scientists today still can't explain why and how your body does what it does. You know, I think of, I got a new phone, and you know, a lot of times we'll hold something like this up and go, wow, look at that, what a beautiful, you know, amazing piece of technology. And it truly is. It is a technological marvel. If you didn't know, there's more computing power in this phone than all of the computers they used to send Apollo to the moon. And here's the other thing. This phone gives you godlike powers. Have you ever thought about that? Really? I mean, it may be the reason why we tend to hold this up and make an idol of it, right? We put it before people and conversations. But it gives you godlike powers. I mean, I can find somebody on the other side of the planet. If I get lost, it can help me find my way, right? I can go on and look at the weather 1,000 miles from here or figure out what the weather is going to do later tonight, right? I can actually talk real time to another person on the other side of the planet. And I can communicate with hundreds, if not thousands, or even millions of people right from the comfort of my own toilet. It is a truly amazing creation. Right? But you know what? It's nothing more than a paperweight compared to any one of you in here. You know, the fact that stands that it is because God created us first that this even exists. And I could lay this right here for 1 million years, and you know what? It would never create anything because it is not made in the image of God. You know, Genesis 1:21 says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Our Heavenly Father, the most creative and amazing artist of all time that will ever exist, created you in his image. Let the ramifications of that sink in. I mean, really, let it sink in. If you were the Mona Lisa and you had consciousness, now I know that's ridiculous, but just work with me, you'd be like, I'm worth $850 million, baby, right? I mean, but compared to the Mona Lisa, which is just a decaying piece of canvas and wood and paint, do you realize that each one of you are a living work of art that far exceeds that, made by the very God who created Leonardo da Vinci, the master painter who created the Mona Lisa. Have you ever made a comment about someone's child being like them? Ever done that? Guys, I'm not talking about when you're arguing with your old lady and you're like, you're just like your mother. Yeah. Don't do that, by the way, if you haven't. Those men out there that have done that know not to do it again, right? I'm talking about like, wow, little Johnny, he's so articulate and well-spoken, just like his father. Or little Susie, man, she just, what a voice. She's so musically inclined, just like her mother. You know, we tend to pick up the qualities of our parents, don't we? Whether intentional or unintentional, good or bad. I remember when my son was just a little boy, and we would go over to see my mom, and she had this huge flight of stairs up to her front door. And I took his little hand, and we were going up the stairs, and he's like, and up the stairs. It was so noticeable that I looked at my wife when we got to the top, and I said, Corey, I think there's something wrong with him. I think he's in pain. And then a couple days later, I was here at the church going upstairs to the in the education wing, and I was all by myself, and I heard myself, and I was going, and I realized I do that every time I go up the stairs. He thought that's what you were supposed to do. He was emulating me. We serve a creative and artistic God who made us in his image to be creative and to emulate him. Okay, now I know when I use the word creative, it comes with all kinds of preconceived notions for each one of you. Most of us think that creativity means like, oh, you know, it's reserved for artists and chefs and writers and people like that. But I want you to know that couldn't be further from the truth. When you think about creativity as it relates to ourselves, we usually have these skewed notions about ourselves, right? We either think, yeah, I'm a pretty creative guy, or like, man, I don't have a creative bone in my body. And I believe that much of that comes from conditioning. Every one of you in here now and watching online is creative at some level. You may not believe it, but think back to when you were a kid, all right? I have never known a kid that wasn't creative or imaginative. You know, they're really synonymous, creativity, imagination. For little boys, there's that point in life where they get to where everything becomes a gun, right? You know, a stick, Lego bricks, their fingers, pow, 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 right? Some of us never outgrow that, right? Or it becomes like a car or a rocket ship. They can get a block of wood and be like, rawr, rawr, driving around. If there's an empty box in your living room, what do? They get in it and they're going to the moon. Little girls, they'll take anything, put it in their little toy stroller, and it becomes a baby, right? Or maybe they like to dress up and pretend they're a princess. Both little boys and girls love to imaginary cook. And if you've got kids or grandkids, most of y'all out there do, how many imaginary sandwiches and ice cream cones have you eaten with your kids or grandkids, right? I do it all the time in the preschool because they're right outside my office door and they're always cooking up something. Well, it reminds me of when I was about four or five. You're probably like, how can you remember that far back? You'll find out why. And my brother and I, my brother David, he's a little bit older than me, we decided we were going to go out and play restaurant. We were going to be chefs. We had a really big garden at the time. And so we went out unbeknownst to my mom, and we started going through the garden, and we were picking some of everything, you know, and breaking it all up, sticking it in our soup pot, which is really just like a bucket, a five-gallon bucket, I think. And that included a healthy dose of jalapenos and habaneros. And we're mixing it all up with our ladle, which was really just our hand and a stick. And we were on our way to making the best pot of ratatouille ever made. And just out of the blue, my brother freezes, starts screaming bloody murder, and runs to the house. And I'm like, I'm just a little bitty guy. I'm like, what is going on? So, of course, I'm running after him. And I get into the house, and my mom's... She's got his head under the faucet in the bathtub, and I think she's trying to drown him, and I'm like, what's wrong with David? And I start sobbing and crying, and I rub my tears out of my eyes, and and then for the next 15 minutes, she's washing her hands and alternating her heads under the faucet, and I learned a very valuable lesson that day about peppers. you know, I think collectively, that for many of us, it's moments like that that rob us of our God-given creativity and imagination. You have a bad experience. Maybe you write a song or you sing a song. You know, your little kid, you come in and somebody laughs at it, and so you kind of close down a little bit. Maybe you paint a painting or draw a picture and you don't get quite the response that you had hoped for. Maybe you cook a meal or a treat and it doesn't come out so good and nobody wants to eat it. And little by little, slowly, that creativity or imagination gets buried, right? We kind of just bury it. And we pursue the things that we feel like that we're only the things that we feel like we're halfway good at, right? How many of you guys in here pursue stuff you know you're awful at, or at least you believe you're awful at? Nobody, right? So we shut that off and we wall it down. But listen up, you guys, myself included, were designed to create and to have an imagination, just like our Heavenly Father who made us, and to glorify Him with our talents. And if you happen to be one of those folks that is convinced that you don't have any creativity or talent, take heart, because I guarantee it's there. It's laying dormant for whatever reason. It's buried for whatever reason. Creativity begets creativity. And the more you do it, the better you get. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30 is the parable of the talents. You guys probably remember that one, right? Talents wasn't like Don's ability to play the drum talents. It was like a denomination of currency. And so this master was going to go away on an extended vacation. So he calls in his servants, and he has one of them. He says, I'm going to give you 5 talents to take care of. And then the other one he gives 2 talents to. And then the third one he gives 1 talent to. And so the one that got 5 and the one that got 2, they go out and they invest it. They're making dividends, getting a return. And the guy that got 1 did what? He buried it. You know, I grew up thinking, well, oh, he's the bad guy of the parable, right? No, I think that he didn't do anything with it because he didn't believe in himself. And he thought he would fail if he had done something with that talent. So he just buried it in the ground because he knew his master would come back and want something to show for it. God hasn't just gifted each one of us with a spirit of creativity or imagination or talents or whatever you want to call it to just bury it. He expects us to use these things for his kingdom, to get a return on them. So for the rest of our time here today, I want to talk about what that looks like. Creativity doesn't mean that you have to be able to paint a Mona Lisa or compose a symphony or write a New York Times bestseller. I think it's kind of like the passage about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians. If you'll read with me here. Chapter 12, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honored, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. You ever stubbed your toe or pulled a muscle in your back? You know what I'm talking about. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Guys, we're not all created to be singers or prophets or preachers, or drummers, although I'd love to be able to drum like Don. I mean, how dull, though, would life really be if we all had the exact same talent? You know, we have a God that loves variety so much that he made 400,000 kinds of beetles, right? How many people would fall through the cracks and not be ministered to in a holistic way if we didn't all have a variety of giftings? Everyone has a talent or a gifting. The creativity part, I believe, that God expects from us is to figure out what that is and how to use it for his glory. So I want to ask you a question, and this is a question I want you to actually contemplate and come up with an answer for in your head. What do you love to do? What do you love to do? Believe it or not, that is your starting point. You know, so many folks will say, well, I don't have any talents, or I don't know what my talents are. The great litmus is, what do you love to do? And once you've identified it, how can you creatively use it for God's glory? You guys know, most folks, they think that if they take those talents or those giftings or the things that they love to do and they give it all to God, that God's going to somehow expect them to sell everything and move to the mission field in the Congo. And he might do that. But I'll tell you this, if he does, he is also going to give you the desire to do it. You're going to feel such a burden and love and excitement for the people of the Congo that nothing's going to keep you away. And I think about my good friend Mandy Williams. She went on a couple of our mission trips to Honduras, and she fell in love with the people of Honduras. She fell in love with doing ministry and being in ministry to them, and now you can't keep her away from Honduras. The creativity part is her figuring out how she juggles her job and her bills back home so that she can be down there as much as possible. And she doesn't do it out of a sense of dread or burden. There are many folks in our congregation that I have quietly witnessed over the years who have taken things that they love to do and turned them into a beautiful tool of ministry. Now, these folks don't know I'm going to talk about them, so I don't mean to embarrass you. And they don't by any means do these things for accolades or recognition. But I think it is a beautiful example of what taking something you love to do and using it creatively for God's glory. So we'll start with Walt Schremper. He's sitting right over here. You guys probably saw that was him doing all the woodworking up there, right? You know, Walt is great with wood. I don't think you were an engineer, right? See, he wasn't a master carpenter, but he loves to do woodworking. John Johnson, he does too. Earl Stevens, and sometimes when he has a big job, he enlists them as partners in crime, and they'll make offering boxes or displays or help out with vacation Bible school, doing something that they love to do for the glory of God. Then there's Becky Schaefer. A lot of you guys know Becky. A couple years ago, she adopted that space between the CLC and the church building. And at any given point during the week, you'll see her up here two or three times watering and weeding and planting. I've been here 24 years. It's never looked that good. She loves to garden, and she takes something that she loves to do, and she's using it for the glory of God. And we all get to benefit from that. Pat Tisdale's a member out in Arlington. She loves to do flower arrangements, and every week she'll put together a flower arrangement and bring it and set it on the offering table, the communion table, and then the whole congregation is blessed by it, and the service is blessed by it. But she doesn't stop there. She and her friend Kay Wisman will take that and then go visit somebody in the community that's lost somebody that they love or that's sick or that just needs a pick-me-up and take the flowers to them, and I have seen beautiful things come out of that. All doing something that she loved. Brad Huddleston. Did anybody go to the one-day service a couple weeks ago? Yeah. Did you eat some barbecue? It was good, wasn't it? I could use some right about now. Brad is a master griller. He can cook anything on a grill. And he never thinks twice when asked, hey, could you help us with cooking? He'll be cooking hot dogs probably for Fallapalooza. He's done it in the past. He's helped cook barbecue for our FCA camp ministry for the last several years. And when he was asked, could you cook for the one day, he cooked for like 375 of us. And it was good. Doing something that he was good at, that he loved to do, to assist with ministries here at Advent. Georgia Smith's another one of those people. For the last 20 years, I've seen her step in and use her culinary love to bless people. She also has a really, really good gift of presentation. She can just make stuff look so good, and she'll step in and do that, doing something she loves. Debbie Sprinkle's a member out in Arlington. She retired, and she loved to write. She started writing novels. She's got like 4 or 5 novels published. We've got a novelist among us here at Advent. But she also loves Jesus, and her novels, they're Christian novels. It might be a Christian mystery or a Christian love story. But she uses something she loves for the glory of God. And last, I just want to, there's several folks, Ryan and Kristen Nelson, Jordan Walston, Holly Hare, Jim Shearer, Jim Van Gundy, Marlon McKinney, Robin Ballou. They have a love for sports and a love for kids, and they coached for me last season. Our community was blessed because they did something they loved to do. Our church kids were blessed because of it. And I would be remiss if I didn't use this as a shameless opportunity to put in a plug. Advent is about to have its biggest year ever in its history with basketball. I think we're going to have 11 teams. And that's great because that's reaching the community. But I need a few more people that love sports. But if you love kids and they're not that good with sports, that's all I need to. I could go on and on and talk about dozens more folks here at Advent that have used something that they love to do to further God's kingdom. The point I'm trying to make is this, that if you have something that you love, find a way to use it for God's glory. When you serve Him with something that you love, guess what? It doesn't feel like work when you're doing it. And you can get that much more passionate about what you're doing. So I ask you again, what do you love to do? And at this point, I was going to actually like put people on the spot and call them and say, what do you love to do, Juanita? You know, whatever. And I thought, well, okay, that might embarrass some folks. And plus, I don't know what they're going to say. They could be like, I love drinking beer, you know. But if you're creative, all things in moderation, you could probably use that to glorify God. Maybe you got a group of guys, you try a different lager each week, and you have a Bible study. Do you love kids? You could become a part of our nursery or our kids ministry or the youth ministry or rec ministry. Do you love to cook? Do you love to cook? Maybe invite somebody that's lost a spouse and they're all alone now, or just somebody that lives on their own over for dinner. Maybe become a part of our care team and bless somebody with the fruits of that love that's in a place of need right now. Do you love speaking a foreign language? I know when people are pretty proficient in a foreign language, you know, they look for opportunities to use it. They'll go get Mexican food just so they can speak Spanish, you know. Do you love that? Can you find a way to parlay that into international missions? Do you like golf? I know a lot of you guys in here like golf. Maybe shooting guns? I don't know. Could you find a young man or a young woman that doesn't have a father or mother figure in their life and take them under your wing and teach them how to do it? Maybe develop a lifelong friend in the process, or even change the trajectory of that child's life, all doing something you love to do. The sky truly is the limit, guys. Every one of us in here has something that we love to do. Most of us have many things that we love to do, right? God obviously loved beetles and flowers, so much so that He made 400,000 different ones. I have no doubt that every one of us can identify something that we love to do and find one way to use it for God's kingdom. Amen? Amen.